Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an Hakim, يُحِبُّهُ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah is addressing the mu'min, the believers, and Allah ta'ala is saying that I love the mu'mins, the believers. And the mu'min also loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the verse of the Qur'an that I've just recited before you. And it's a very great ayah verse of the Qur'an. The first point here to note, the ulama ikram have stated that the mu'min, the believer, his status that Allah ta'ala has mentioned and praised, the quality of the people of Iman, is that they have hubbi ilahi, they have love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the other point, in other words, the mu'min can be a mu'min only if he has the love of Allah in his heart. The person who doesn't have the love of Allah in his heart cannot be a mu'min. And then the second point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, especially Allah ta'ala has clearly explained this here, that the important point here is that between the servant and his creator, between Allah and the mu'min, the believer, what is the connection? It is muhabbat, it is love. That is the connection. And love is such a connection, it is such a relationship between Allah and the mu'min, between the creator, our creator Allah, and the believer. What is it that can strengthen that relationship? It is love, muhabbat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for this love, for this muhabbat, Allah ta'ala has between the believer and himself to strengthen that bond and that connection, has given a beautiful method through the amal, through the deeds. And all the amal that Allah ta'ala has given to us, distributed to us in the form of ibadat, worship, the objective of ibadat and worship deeds is that the relationship between Allah and the mu'min, the believer, can become stronger and stronger and stronger. In the form of faraid, Allah ta'ala has given the compulsory deeds, which we have salah and fasting and hajj and zakat. And all of these are the faraid, the compulsory deeds that must be done. And every amal, if we look at the amal, that if a person fulfills the amal, then he is strengthening the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah. Let's take salah. The salah, it strengthens the love, the bond of love between Allah and his believer. Every salah, every prayer strengthens that bond. This is the special quality of this worship action that Allah ta'ala has made this for this purpose. And fasting also does the same thing. That the person who is fasting, when he keeps the fast and fulfills Allah Ta'ala's hukam, then what is the reward that he gets? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no bigger love than this, is there? Allah Ta'ala's love, it increases. Hajj. Hajj is the deed of the ashikain, the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who love, you can see that they are demonstrating physically the love for Allah. So when the people, or the person, or a believer goes on hajj, then the increase is attained in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask a haji or somebody who's just come back from doing umrah, before going and after coming back, what is the difference in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's increased so many times over. And a person, doesn't matter what status he's on, what kind of person he is, etc. But when a person does ibadat with ikhlas, sincerity, the love for Allah increases. In the same way, recitation of Qur'an. If we recite the Qur'an, we will see how much difference is made in the love. Allah Ta'ala's love increases in that person's heart. Dhikr Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And it increases the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the amal that increases the love. Dhikr Allah. This is a great, brilliant deed that Allah Ta'ala talks about. And staying up in the night, waking up in the night, tahajjud, nawafil, voluntary actions. Another azeem and great worship action, which is akhlaq. Good akhlaq and haqooqul ibad, the rights of society, of mankind, of people. All of these actions increase the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase and strengthen that relationship between Allah and his creation, the mu'min, the believer. And any of these deeds, if we are implementing them and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing, then you should understand that your deed has been accepted in the court of Allah and your destination is being attained. So we should sometimes reflect and ponder over this, because it's very good for us to do this. That the objective for which we are doing ibadah, that after performing that worship action, just for 3 minutes I should think, that did I enjoy that? Did I increase my love for my Lord, for my Creator? Did my heart feel more? Just 3 minutes, a bit of maraqabah and reflection. Very important thing. That my niyyah, my intention, and my maqsad, my objective, has it been strengthened? Has it been made more strong? That the salah I just prayed, it had no other objective. Yes, there are rewards, and after salah, dua is accepted. There are many rewards, but the objective of me praying salah is Allah Ta'ala's love. And if due to that deed I'm performing, I'm not increasing the love of Allah in my heart, then I've got to worry about this. That is shaitan robbing me? Is he grabbing my ibadat? Is he grabbing my deeds? Is he giving me the wrong intention? Because Allah Ta'ala gave me the worship deeds first and foremost, so that Allah Ta'ala's love can increase in my heart. After that, I can think about reward or increase in other things. But I should think, I prayed salah. Did the love of Allah increase in my heart, in my life? And what is the sign of this? What is the quality of this? Or if I implemented other actions, Quran, etc., recitation or other deeds, that has Allah Ta'ala's love increased in me? For example, if Allah Ta'ala is ordering me, am I implementing a deed? Or if Allah Ta'ala is telling me to stop something, am I stopping doing that action? So this is the physical sign of Allah Ta'ala's love. So the person who is allowing his deeds to translate into fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's desires and staying away from Allah Ta'ala has told us to stay away from, then we know the love is increasing. Now, if I've prayed salah and I've gone, okay, fair enough, I've prayed salah, but I'm not reaching to the destination that I've prayed salah, and the objective of praying salah is Allah's love should increase in my heart. So how much difference has that made to my life? How many times more am I leaving those things that Allah Ta'ala tells me to leave? And how many times am I running after what Allah Ta'ala is telling us to do? There's an open field. Islam is a broad deen. It's a deen that is the full way of life. There's aqaid, belief. There's ibadat, worship. There's ma'ashara, society. There's mu'amalat, personal remembrance of Allah and worship. There's akhlaqiyat, which is the conduct and manners. So in all of these subjects and fields, you can say subject fields, Allah Ta'ala's order is what is at the front. These are five things: aqidah, belief, ibadat, worship. Ibadah is one part of Islam. Salah is one part of ibadah. They are mu'amalat, your personal affairs, mu'asharat, society, environment, people, social intercourse, akhlaqiyat, manners, conduct, behavior. So if I think that soon as I come out of the masjid and I then bump into the dunya, the world, because you come into the playing field then. So either I prepare myself, say, oh, I've come for Allah's love and I did this deed for Allah's love, and my love for Allah has increased, my relationship with Allah Ta'ala has strengthened. Yes, I feel it has. Then I go into the field of the world. Then I should see that, am I improving in my actions? Are they better? Is my tongue reducing in the lies that it mutters and speaks? Or if I've got a habit in lying, then say, alhamdulillah, now I stop lying. I think about it. Alhamdulillah, my deeds have been accepted. Before, I used to openly lie without any hindrance, restriction. But now I feel it a bit because I prayed salah. And my feelings and thoughts are now trying to restrict and stop and reduce the lying. Ah, my salah is getting accepted because I'm getting to my objective. So all the amal, the objective of what I'm trying to say is that all of the deeds Allah Ta'ala has given to us is to attain Allah's love. Allah says, the mu'min is he who I love and that person who loves me. This is the definition of the mu'min. Allah's given a target, a criteria. So we can't just say, I'm a mu'min, unless we fit that criteria. So in the same way, this is now the main point for every person of iman, every believer. Remember this, the main point. That from our hearts, depths of our hearts, we have to attain the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala starts to love us, and we love Allah. And this is our target. That Allah ta'ala loves us. This is not a massive target. This is the basic initiation of a mu'min, of a believer. And to the end point as well. From the beginning to the end, our main target is that we want Allah ta'ala's love. This is the main point. So, the question arises now, amal, the deeds that we commit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this silsa, in this respect, or in this regard, has given us a deed. That's a great deed. It will leave every other deed behind. SubhanAllah, such a deed, such an amal, that all these other deeds we've just mentioned become secondary. And if we implement this deed, then Allah Ta'ala says Himself that you love me and I love you. Direct statement of Allah Ta'ala. Allah becomes the witness Himself. And if you know this deed, put your hands up. Ah, oh, what a great deed. What a great deed. But we don't even know what this deed is. Such a great deed. All the amal, the faraid and other things I said, Alhamdulillah, they are all good, but they become secondary in comparison to this deed that we're going to discuss now. And, okay, I pray salah. I go to the masjid, fine, I prayed salah. But it doesn't cover the rest of the items. There are five parts to deen. Okay, I've fasted. Fasted, but there are five parts to deen. Aqeedah, mu'asharat, ibadat, akhlaqiyat, mu'amalat. So your ibadah, your fasting, prayer will not affect the other sectors of the deen. But subhanAllah, this deed we're about to discuss, it covers all the subject fields of Islam. It is such full of nur and light, and it is a fantastic deed. Will we implement this deed? Total promise? True promise? Say loudly, inshaAllah. Why? Because what will we get from this deed? We will attain our objective, the Allah. We will get Allah's love. Allah will start to love that person, and that person will love Allah. What will that insan be? Tell me. What a human being will be? Subhanallah. What his death will be? Amazing. And what his hereafter will be? And in Jannah, he will get the rank and the status. And in the hereafter, he will get the rank and the status. And he will have darajat. Ah, how many people are passing away? People are passing away without understanding this point. People are going to the grave morning and night, or during the day and the night. We are leaving this world unsuccessful. What will we take? Open hands with nothing inside them. All our life long we work with our hands, and those hands will be open and empty when we depart. We need to work hard. We need to think for the sake of Allah. We need to open our eyes that the death, when the jolt comes, nobody will be able to speak, nobody will be able to explain, no one will be able to do this amal. We will have nothing. We'll be in the darkness of the grave in the night. And there will be massive regret, massive regret. Today after today, such a solid reminder Allah Ta'ala has given to us of this amal, this deed. We should never leave this deed, doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what happens. Otherwise there's no life that person has. If I don't recognize my objective and purpose, if I don't attain the purpose of life, look, eating, drinking, food, drink, and etc. And this is just dust. It's a soil. All the struggle of the world will go. Allah gave us the young age and youth understanding. Our parents brought us up. Then we came into the youth. Then we came to young age and Allah gave beauty. Then we go through the young age and the middle age and the elderly age. And we don't understand our objective and purpose of life in any of these phases. And then the back starts to bend. And then we become old. And the situation changes. We become weak and old and frail. And then we become like a baby again. Memory goes, can't speak. Understanding goes, everyone becomes like a child, a baby, reliant on other people. Then Allah Ta'ala says, SubhanAllah, he remembers Allah. But Allah Ta'ala says that he loves Allah and Allah loves him or her. So this is what we need to attain, this criterion. If today we can gather our thoughts together and understand this point, that everything in the world is a waste, and the true genuine thing is, يُحِبُّونَهُ SubhanAllah, that Allah loves the believers and the believers love Allah. Allah will love that person, and Allah Ta'ala's servant will love Allah. This is the place, the destination we need to get to. Shall I tell you this deed? Shall we continue forward? Should the Quran tell us, or shall I tell you, or will Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us? The Quran will tell us, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will tell us, and I will also request and present this deed. And this is such a great deed. And you know this deed, and you are not children either. You're not babies. You have conscience. You have understanding and awareness. How can a person of iman like you brothers not know this deed? We all know this deed. You know this deed. I'm just here to refresh our understanding. Because this majlis gathering is for this reason. As I said to you many times, the objective of this gathering is what? Is to sit down with each other and to revive our iman. refresh our iman, strengthen our iman, so we can prepare for the akhirah. So for a few moments, we depart from the world, we take the assistance of dhikr, and we say such words and share such discussion that will give us the akhirah. That's why Allah Ta'ala has kept us together this beautiful day and night of Muharram. There's no other objective, no objective of peer or murid or teacher or student. Somebody learns dhikr, I teach dhikr, I am the teacher and there's the student and I teach dhikr. But the objective is what? The objective is this, alhamdulillah, we are sitting, we have fikr, we should worry and have concern. And after worrying and having concern, we should say that after every majlis we have a new lease of life. After every gathering we have a new lease of life. Some change, some improvement. Improvement, not change, but improvement should come in a person's life. Otherwise tomorrow we'll be asked about this time we sat here. And this is such a great ni'mah to have such a majlis in which we talk about the worry of the hereafter and we have the assistance of dhikr. And there's a call from Allah. Allah is calling out and the ruud is raining down. Oh, this is a massive, massive gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make this a tradition, a habit. Oh, this is a gathering and dhikr is happening and this and that. Let's go and just sit in the gathering. We're used to it. Don't waste time. Allah ta'ala says, bring yourself, present yourself with the broken heart, with the worry in your heart. Have fikr of Allah. Say, Allah, maut is close to me. Death is close to me. I have no amal. I have no deed. I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. Allah, I can see nothing except Jahannam. There's no luggage for my forgiveness. I can't see it. There's no way out. Allah, in this sadness, I'm sitting in your presence, in your court. Allah, give us a point. Give us some method that we can save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Shaitan deceives us that you are good, I am good, and I am going to paradise, but I'm deceived. Allah, allow me to be revived in terms of my understanding of the deen and my objective and what actions I should be doing. So this deed now. This deed is such a great deed, and we all know about this deed, that this deed will give us Allah's love. Direct, strong method. Rapid. What is this deed that Allah Ta'ala's Quran mentions to us? That Allah Ta'ala mentions to us? That is, ittaba'i sunnati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obedience to an imitation of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who doesn't know this? You don't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Everybody knows that sunnah is the great deed. We know, don't we? We don't know. We know what is sunnah. What do we know about sunnah? Everybody recognizes the sunnah in his own way. Oh, this is sunnah. This is one way. Oh, it's just sunnah. Don't have to do it. Oh, it's just sunnah. Why do you have to practice it? This is what we say, isn't it? We just shun the sunnah. Look at our style of thinking. What is the Quran saying to us? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. What do we say? Oh, it's just sunnah. Oh, we don't have to practice this. If I don't, there's no difference. Doesn't matter. I won't lose anything. Brothers, forget this from today. This statement. Now, I am not saying those things that my tongue and my understanding of consciousness does not allow me to say what else other people say. May Allah Ta'ala not let my tongue go towards that direction. Let's not think like that or see like that. May Allah close our eyes and our ears to the falsehood. Because we say worse than this. About what? About Allah Ta'ala's deen. And Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. O my Mahbub, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you ask these people, your believers, your followers, your ummah, you are their Nabi, their Prophet. What has happened to these people? Why do they talk nonsense and lie that we are ashiks of Allah, we're lovers of Allah, we believe in Allah, Allah loves us and He will forgive us. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, we claim, but look at the verse of the Quran, it explains and challenges. Allah Ta'ala says that you love Allah. Allah asks that, do you love me? And Allah has given them the dalil, the proof basis. And both proofs are coming from where? From Allah, the Creator. So tell me, how important is this deed that we laugh upon, we joke against it. We say we'll do what we want, we can leave what we want. We follow it according to our understanding and our intellect. But we don't even give it any significance. But Allah Ta'ala says, all of your ibadah, you worship. The five sectors of Islam, your ibadah worship, the success, the acceptance is based on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where has shaitan taken us? Imagine, we don't want to pray. We prayed over sunnah. My brother, servant of Allah, the salah is attached to the sunnah. Why did you pray salah? For the love of Allah? For Allah Ta'ala's love? What does Allah Ta'ala say? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you love me, Allah says, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, your believers, that if you love me, if you love Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. After salah, we say we love Allah. Allah says, no. Allah says, no. If you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. then most definitely you would imitate my Habib, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this joke and drama, the five sectors of Islam, from akhlaq to ibadat to ma'asharat to everything we do, there is no way any action, deed, facet, factor, element of Islam can be accepted without the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without seeing the splashes and the reflection of his deen, his practice, Islam, a Muslim, a mu'min is complete at that time. And the laws, the orders, the hints and advices. Imagine a person is stuck in a problem. The whole world is stuck in a problem. But the mu'min will never be stuck, subhanAllah. The mu'min, the whole world may be stuck in a masala, in an issue, in a problem. In one masala, the whole world could be stuck, the people of the world. But the person who cannot get trapped is the mu'min, the believer. He has the solution. Where does the solution come from? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala says that I have made you, O Nabi, I've made you the solution. Every difficult issue, problem, distress and predicament for a mu'min, he can never have the issue. Why? Because he can get the solution through the physical, individual example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is such a shining lamp, he will take you out of every darkness into the light. Into the light. He is such a shining lamp, such a light, that every darkness you fall into, you will get the light. If you keep on following him, imitating him, any problem in the life, any issue, any maqam, any place, a mu'min will never be stuck. If he does what? He imitates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepts everything that's come from the Nabi after practicing. If we've accepted that our guide is one, our guide, our rahbar is one, subhanallah. Who is that? Just one. And what is that? The imitation and the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's footsteps and imitation. Imitate him. If we follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will get the guidance and the route and the path to paradise. Through the footsteps, through following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find the path to Jannah, and the path of the Sunnah takes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, for a mu'min, for a believer, nothing is difficult. To solve the issues, to attain Allah ta'ala's love, is the sunnah. The sunnah. There's no greater action than this. No greater than the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can see this. Take the examples. Who? Which Muslim can claim in any place of the world that I love Allah and Allah loves us? And Allah loves us so much. Extremely Allah Ta'ala loves us. And Allah is happy with us. Where? Just one thing we need to understand. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Oh my mahbub, my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give the announcement to the people. Don't make false claims. Don't make the false claims. There's only one proof for having the love of Allah, that you have to be fana for Rasul. You have to be immersed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. Not one action of your life should be away from the Sunnah. My brothers, we have to think. We have to think that we're not even educated about the Sunnah. We don't even have the knowledge about the Sunnah. And the Sunnah, to learn Sunnah, you don't need Darul Uloom. You don't need Islamic Institute. You don't need to be an alim or a scholar or a faqih or a jurist. No, sunnah is such a beautiful, simple thing that from morning till night, whatever your actions are, you just have to ask that, how did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this action? And automatically that will become your life. And that life will become a routine for you. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So that will, we learn that from the lap of the mother. That when we start eating, what kalima do you have to recite? After eating, what kalima do you have to recite? When I drink water, I have to sit down and drink. This is from the lap of the mother. It teaches us, how am I going to live my life? Don't ever lie. Now you see, that such a big personality who passed away, Hazrat Ghawthul Adam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, his mother taught him one sunnah, that never lie, my son. And that saving him from the lie made him the Ghawth, the great wali of Allah. This is it, isn't it? So these are the mothers, such mothers. It depends on the mother, isn't it? It depends on the mother. What does she teach the children? Either she feeds the milk from the tin, yeah, the formula milk, or from the chest. Where does the mother give the milk from the chest? Oh no, I'll feel bad, I'll get a flu, I'll get weak, I want to stay smart. And if I give the baby milk from my breast to the child, I won't be smart, my body won't be smart, I'll be fat. So we take out the tins and give the formula milk. Brothers, we're in a very bad situation. Very bad situation. Let's understand the reality. Let's understand the reality. Very bad situation. For the sake of Allah, me and you, let's look at our islah. That death is near. And the secrets will be unraveled at that time. The unseen will be unraveled at that time of death. That we need to grab hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life with firmness if we want to success in this world and thereafter. If we want the success. The biggest success. The greatest personality was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his followers are the best. No one after them, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, can be greater in status as a human being. Nobody. The ishq, the love of the Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala announced that these are the ashiqeen, the lovers of Rasulullah sallam, and Allah, and I am pleased with them. Because the person who loves Allah, Allah loves them. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that this is their success. Why? Why? Let's take the all of the companions, and just let's take one companion who had the iman in his heart, and he saw the blessed face of Rasulullah and had ziyarah just for a few moments, and he departed from this world. Then take all of the greatest walis and ghaus and kutub all in one line from that time, in one line they cannot reach to the dust, to the speck of the iman of the sahabi. This was the quality of the sahaba. Somebody asked Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, who is the Umar Thani, the second Umar. What a great status. He wasn't companion, tabi'in. So somebody asked him, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, was he greater or was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu greater? And the answer was given. What is this question? What kind of comparison are you making here? The Amir Muawiyah, sahabi, that the dust from the feet, the hoof of the horse of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and that speck of dust that goes in the nostril of the horse, and it falls out, then even the person after the Sahabi, he cannot reach, the people in the generation after the Sahaba cannot reach to that status of the dust on the hoof of the foot of the horse of a Sahabi. Why? Because the Sahaba Ikram have such a status. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Who was their sheikh? Direct, the beloved of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the direct sheikh of the Sahaba. And what was his function? يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did their tazkiyah. Listen clearly to what I'm saying. If somebody criticizes a sahabi, a companion, listen, very dangerous. Very dangerous. To criticize a sahabi, any sahabi, anybody raises his finger at a blessed companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, criticizes him, or says a word, then in reality, he's not criticizing the sahabi, rather his shaykh who did his purification and tarbiyah and rectification, he is criticizing the shaykh. In other words, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, you're criticizing the teacher, that the teacher did not reform his companions. Remember this, the aqidah, belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah about the companions. I'm not an alim scholar, I'm just repeating the words of our elders and scholars to you, because this is the gathering where we revise. So what is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The aqidah, belief of the rightly guarded believers, is that maybe we can, yes, we accept that the Sahaba Ikram had difference of opinion amongst them. They did different issues, but their niyyah, we cannot have doubt on their niyyah, on their intention. The difference of opinion they had was openly between them apparent, but their niyyah was pure. If one sahabi was here and the other sahabi was here, and they had a difference of opinion, but both had the desire niyyah for akhirah, because their rectification had taken place, their tazkiyah had been done, they had no nafs, they had no desires of dunya, of the world. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the first sight of his blessedness, when he looked at his companions, the first tazkiyah he did of his companions, that their hearts would be purified from the love of the dunya. Even if today you go, and with a true sincere heart, you go to the wali of Allah, and you say that I want tazkiyah from you, purification, I swear by Allah, I swear on this prayer man. A person goes with this knee, and he sits with the wali of Allah, and he says, I've come solely, sincerely to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness from your company, and I'm prepared to sacrifice my desires and my time and my energy, and I'm prepared to give over all of my desires. I don't know what response my sheikh will give or guidance. I'm ready to accept my teacher, I swear by Allah, I sit on this prayer mat. The first thing that will come out of your heart, because when you're getting tazkiyah, because the same training, teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, first Rasulullah ﷺ reformed the Sahaba, then the Sahaba reformed the Tabi'in, 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 then the Walis of Allah came. And the same teaching of the Awliya Allah, the Walis of Allah today, is in the way of the Sunnah like Rasulullah ﷺ. And the true murid or muridini, student, male or female, the first impact after going to the Wali of Allah is that first the dunya will come out of your heart. Love of the dunya will come out of your heart. Love of the dunya will come out of your heart. This is the first sign of the believer. Me and you, we are doing this. We are trying to attain this. And this is a beautiful thing. Subhanallah, that this journey is a very long journey between the shaykh and the murid. Don't think it's a short journey, 5 years, 10 years. This safar, this journey continues till the grave. Because nafs and shaitan can attack you at any time. Any time. And only the shaykh, the teacher can help at that time. Your teacher, isn't it? Only he will guide you, he'll guide you. He knows the tricks of shaitan and nafs, because the eyes and the lows, the troughs and the peaks, he has seen them. Where will shaitan attack? Where will the desires attack? How will they will overwhelm us? And I'm not speaking about myself, not an empty box like me. Oh, this person should be shaykh, he's a shaykh. We think that for doing this, that we have to be a murid to do this. I've done this, and I've worn white clothes, and I'm a murid, I'm a Naqshbandi, solid. Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm going to Jannah. What kind of talk is this? What kind of misconception and deceit is this? Brothers, for us, Allahu Akbar, we have to follow the traditional teaching. Wherever I come from, where did I get my teaching from? Beautiful and unique. The sheikh whose hand I grabbed, his story is something else. Amazing. Where can you find this nowadays? Such word. How can we understand the difference between deceit and reality? A person starts to laugh when he's seen the reality and the truth. Such a great wali of Allah. When I had the chance, opportunity to sit with such a wali, then you realize what is the reality, what is the batil and the falsehood and the darkness. Subhanallah, my brothers. So this is the reality. All of the companions are like glowing stars in front of us. If there are differences between them, that's for them to be worried about. Their disputes or quarrels or difference of opinion was for them to resolve, and in that generation, nothing to do with us, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them his teachings and education. And subhanAllah, he's backing while he was alive in this. Anyway, I come back towards what I wanted to say, which is what I was saying, that the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, are the most respected human beings after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After all the Anbiya, they're the greatest human beings who set forth on this earth. And the first reward they got on their tazkiyah, because they were to become Allah's beloveds, weren't they? And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to look at a companion who had iman in his heart and he became a believer, Allah Ta'ala said straight away, I am pleased with you. Allah Ta'ala said, go, that you can continue until Qiyamah, but I have forgiven you, O companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, this was their status. Allah gave them this special status. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw a person who was a believer, just in that split second, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that person, their blessed face, and that person, the sahabi, saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would he attain straight away? Allah's love would be attained straight away in this silsilan connection. Yuhibbuna. The first and foremost, the sahabi, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, and when the sahabi saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with iman in his heart, he would attain the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam straight away, and the love of the sunnah, and they would be immersed in the sunnah straight away, because this is the amal that will give Allah's love. There's no deed that can give Allah Ta'ala's love except the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the imitation and obedience to his sunnah. So this is what the Sahaba Ikram attained first. What was their condition? I give you the example here. How many examples can I give you? So many hadith are full. Every sahabi, their life is full of this fact. That forget about you, O Rasulullah sallam, forget about your love, that we love your sunnah so much. Let's speak about that first. The ashik, the follower, the believer, his initiation of every sahabi was from the sunnah. As Uthman Ghani radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, great companion, third khalifa, third commander of the Muslims, leader of the Muslims, complete iman, great Muslim, great sahabi. And what happened at the Sulah Hudaybiyah? At the agreement of Hudaybiyah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was sent as the representative to go to the people of Makkah, the Quraysh, and speak to them, negotiate with them. And he went, he had respect, and where he stayed was his relative. And when they were speaking in the morning, there were the big shots, the leaders of Makkah, the Quraysh, and they were to speak with Hazrat Usman, and then the decision would be made what to do. So they were thinking the relatives, and the relative of Hazrat Uthman said, "I want to say something to you." And he said, "What?" He said that we are going to meet these leaders of the Quraysh with big heads and their noses in the sky, and they think there's something special, and we're going like this in a simple way, and you're going to speak to them. So what we have to do is that I will say to you, advise to you, you know this idhar, you're like dhoti, don't wear this. You know the dhoti, the dahma, don't wear this. Don't wear this. And Hazrat Uthman said, "Why?" He said, "You know, we're going to the leaders, the Quraysh, you know, the noble people, and we can't, we're inferior in front of them, we wear this." Those people whose in minds these words come, and this libas, now compare, let's compare our iman. That these hadith are for this reason. Why don't you wear this? Oh, I feel ashamed. What will people say? Oh, and is this less? That topi, if you put on, you know, just a normal topi, the net or the topi that goes to the sky, we'll put that on, the one that goes to the clouds. But this, this we don't like, this attire. So what does this tell us? What does this tell us? Tell me. This tells us that in our hearts we don't have the respect for the sunnah. So when this relative of Hazrat Uthman said this, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, whose face went red, red hot, he went into anger. He's such a tender, gentle person. He said, "What is this you've said? You said this to me by forgetfulness." He said, "No, no, no, people will laugh at us with this, your attire." Hazrat Uthman said, "Laugh? If I was not sent here, then I wouldn't even go to this gathering, but I was given hukam, that's why I'm going to this gathering. How dare you say such words? This is the sunnah of Rasulullah, his attire that I'm wearing. And I kick everything else into touch in comparison to this." So this is the beautiful recognition. And we see all of the qualities of the Sahaba. But what's the first thing that came into their life? Was he a Sahabi? He was a Sahabi because his love for Rasulullah was high and he practiced the sunnah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, such a faqih, jurist, scholar in the history of Islam. And look, his hal of ishq and love. He was traveling one day to another place, and maybe he was traveling to Medina, Tul Manawra, and the Jamaat, the companions were with him. And he walked past the tree. When he went past the tree, he went back to the tree and rubbed his chest on the trunk. And then he sat there for a little while, and the Sahaba or the other companions with him said, "What did you do this action for?" And Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar said, "You didn't understand, nor did I. But once we passed through here, and Rasulullah at the time was alive, and his blessed body rubbed and touched this tree, and then he sat down for a while. So I have just imitated this action, because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. And anyone can do this if he has the intention." So the person, if we don't hold his sunnah in high regard, Rasulullah nakal, the ashik, his job is not to enter into debate about nakal. And the mahbub, the beloved of Rasulullah, his intellect gets buried when it comes to ishq, because ishq overwhelms, love overwhelms the intellect. That's when you will succeed. If you try to use your intellect to justify deen, you'll never be successful. I'll give you the example of dunya. Person knows that my mahbub is going to come out of this house, and he knows he's going to get beat. So he says, "Doesn't matter, let's see what happens. I'm still going to go there." He will go there and he will wait up and wait for his mahbub and beloved and make signs, even if the slippers are thrown in his head afterwards. But his akal and intellect is buried in his love. So this is the permanent love we're talking about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the love here? Allahu Akbar. We're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose love we want eternally into the hereafter. So how do we attain that? How do we preserve that? How do we practice that? Subhanallah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was said about him that when he was given the order to go into the fire, now akal would say, "Oh no, 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 such a massive fire, you'll get burnt, what you're doing, you're going to go into the fire, don't do this, you'll get melt." It was fire, wasn't it? So if this message has been given by the fire, by this situation, the message comes, and then subhanallah, he went blindly into the fire. The hukam came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hukam, the order came. And when the hukam comes from Allah, the love of Allah overwhelms the akal, the intellect. And this is the love that we need. This is the love we need with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sunnah. And that's where we'll get the success, my brothers. Otherwise there'll be no success, no success. The success for the hereafter is on what point? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's look at ourselves, let's reflect. Which sunnah have we left from morning till evening? Tell me, how can I say that I've got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which nakal have I got? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنُ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah says, just do one thing. If you want my love, Allah ta'ala didn't say that love my mahbub. Allah ta'ala didn't say love him. No, we go direct. Oh, I'm ashik. I'm a believer. I'm a lover of Rasulullah. I'm a follower of Rasulullah. I'm an ashik. I'm an ashik. Look at the games that are being played today. This is a big point to be called, or to call yourself the ashik of Rasulullah. And so easily do we let these words come out of our mouths that it's amazing. A person who is an ashik, when you see him from top to bottom, subhanAllah. This is the Ashiq Rasul. Oh, this is Islam. And such a big word we use. The Ashiq, lover, we cannot even dare. That one sunnah, we know that amal, that is even maybe difficult. We know how to cut the nails on Jummah. We don't know how to cut the nails on Jummah. What is the tariqah, the method on Jummah? And we call ourselves Ashiq Rasul. The person who is Ashiq, he will know every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every sunnah will come into his life. First and foremost, he learns the sunnah. First thing he learns is the sunnah. The mu'min, the believer. And we leave the sunnah. We leave the amal. We say, oh, it's just sunnah, it doesn't make any difference, we leave it. We leave the sunnah. And the ashik, Allah Ta'ala says that I will practice this because it takes me to Allah Ta'ala's love. And we leave it. We leave it. Tell me, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That Allah Ta'ala says, you speak about my love, then first my mahbub, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love, to attain that is a massive thing. And the first function, task of an ashik, of a lover, of a mu'min, is to attain the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Steadfastness. He will never go onto the bed without following the sunnah. He'll never eat without following the sunnah. He'll never run his business without the sunnah. But he will never allow his lifestyle to be contaminated. When he takes his shoes off, he won't take them off against the sunnah. When he puts his shoes on, he'll follow the sunnah. Everything, whatever he does, and the color will come onto his life of the sunnah. And he will not listen to the dalil of the aql, of the proofs, of the aql, the intellect. He'll just listen to one thing, that is Rasulullah's sunnah in this, that's it, end of story. I don't need aql, I don't need intellect. And this is called love, genuine love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we've discussed this, and Allah ta'ala has just said this at the moment, isn't it? That you claim to have my love, and you say you are lovers of the sunnah, then Allah ta'ala says the reward, they mention the reward after this. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is now giving the rewards for practicing on the sunnah path. Allah Ta'ala says that if you practice the sunnah, the lifestyle, ways of the Prophet Muhammad, my Habib, Prophet Muhammad says, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, you will become the beloved of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Imagine. Allah's beloved. In other words, Allah will start to love you. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, say to the believers, if they love me, then they must do fattabi'uni. Then yuhbibkum Allah. Then Allah will love you. Why do you run left and right? What a big madness, deception and darkness. This is the one path to Allah Ta'ala's love, that Allah will love you and you will love Allah. Amazing, amazing deed. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, and your sins will be all forgiven. All your sins will be forgiven. Here a beautiful point emanates for the ashiqeen, the lovers of Allah and Rasulullah sallam. That Allah Ta'ala is speaking here, mentioning the sunnah. This is the first point here. That any person, any human being, doesn't matter how many walis of Allah have passed through this dunya and this world, in all the days and the ages, whatever maqam and rank and status he had, he was the wali of Allah, or he became a wali, then the first footstep he takes is to implement the sunnah. The biggest sign of a wali of Allah is what? Sunnah-e Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does this individual love and practice the sunnah to the extreme? My Hazrat, my Shaykh, subhanallah. And mashayikh, other mashayikh, I've sat with them. I'm speaking about my Shaykh. Naqshbandi mashayikh, I've sat in this. I swear by Allah, no Shaykh, take any of them. Many, none of the people did I see who had such opposition. They had no opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In my life, I never saw my Shaykh take this off. Never. There was cold climate, freezing conditions, 80, 90 years. My Hazrat, my teacher, not for a second did he practice anything against the way of the sunnah, whether it's the journey or obstacles or issues. And this is the one sign of the wali of Allah. And acceptance, my brothers, Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran that if you want to become Allah's friend, or if you want Allah's friendship, then Allah says, I will make you my beloved. Just do one thing, imitate my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What amazing love Allah Ta'ala must have for his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here's another point I'll tell you on this reward. Allah Ta'ala is saying in the Quran, I will make you my beloved and I will forgive your sins. On what point? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. On imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, now here's a point that comes out here. Because Allah Ta'ala is Rahim and Kareem and is merciful. So if from today we make niyyah, Allah, we will start from today, that one sunnah, if I follow one sunnah, Allah will give this reward. Yes. So if you drink water according to the sunnah, then straight away you'll get this reward of what? That due to Allah Ta'ala's love, you will start to go closer to Allah's love and Allah will start to forgive your sins. One sunnah, if you practice it, one sunnah, oh, today I'm going to fulfill this sunnah, then straight away these two rewards will fall from the sky. Doesn't matter which darja. Straight away your sins will be forgiven, and if I stand and drink water, I'll get nothing. If I sit down, make niyyah, Allah, I'm sitting according to the sunnah and drinking like Rasulullah Sallam, then straight away you'll get these status of mahbubiyat. Doesn't matter what stage you're on before, but your sins will be forgiven. And then, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, will come the next part of the night and the worship. Is there any greater deed than this that will give quick result? And on the other side, because this is a guarantee from Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah, through Rasulullah says some sunnah. And the hadith, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa faqad ahabbani kana ma'ya fil jannati. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that those people, when they get to the grave, they'll be just waiting for the reckoning, that quickly the angels ask me the question, and when they say, who is this insan? Then straight away we will see the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The veils will drop until Madinatul Munawwara. This is the ashik. But Allah's Nabi Sallam said that the person who loves my sunnah, I love that person. Yes? And he will come into my group. He will come under my banner and I will love the sunnah. If I say this, then it's a great statement. So should I do amal on the sunnah or not? So let's promise today that we will be very careful and cautious and careful in our lives. And properly, not this point and that point. We have to see properly that how did Rasulullah Sallam implement the sunnah. Remember this point. And the rest is a drama, is a game. And this life will pass away. But in the qabr, we'll get no compensation. We'll have to try here. That's the meaning of this world, of this dunya. To crush the desires and to recognize the reality. To attain everything, we need to strengthen ourselves, isn't it? Little bit. We have to have a bit of courage, a bit of determination. And that's when a person becomes successful. So big dalil Allah is speaking with in the Quran, hadith, all of the sahaba ikram, we have their life example from them. Even then we're weak, we don't do amal on the sunnah. One person, we have to listen to him, he says, oh no, it's not important, you don't have to do it, because the nafs needs an excuse. The nafs needs an excuse, isn't it? And look at the lives of the walis of Allah. We are those who believe the walis of Allah. We do tazkiyah, tafsiyah, purification. We have the teacher, the murid, and the student. And that's nothing apart from this one path. No shulka, no mystery, no nothing. And those who play drama and games, oh, this is enough for you, you don't have to do this, because you're Naqshbandi, you've become this and you've become that. This will not give us success. Just make dua to Allah, that Allah give us the true, solid deen, and that before death make me a true and sincere Muslim, a genuine Muslim, so the journey through my grave and akhirah is easy. Otherwise there will be sifr, sifr, zero, zero, and nothing else. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.